we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Tuesday, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio broadcast. And I just found out that today is Paul's birthday, the station manager here. He's working the board right now. And so we're going to sing happy birthday to him right now. Hopefully I get it the right key. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Paul. Happy birthday to you.
You're too kind. Thank you very much.
Oh, never let me know when it's your birthday. If I ever find out when it's your birthday, I will sing to you once. That'll be my gift that year. And from then on, it'll be my gift that I never do that to you ever again. So, Paul, I hope you have a great day. Very, very much. So, anyway, thanks for tuning in today. We want to welcome you to the Refresh Radio broadcast. My name is Bob Arthurs, and tomorrow morning at 11, we're going to be having our vintage worship service, and want to encourage you to come and be a part of that. And we are preaching through the book of Isaiah, praying for miracles. In fact, we are so thankful. We pray for specific prayer requests, and we see answers to those prayers, and very excited about that. And so I hope you have a great day. As I was concluding the radio broadcast yesterday, the clock got the best of me. I was talking about a video that I'd seen where the Jewish army was marching, and it was in the middle of the night, and the field was laced with landmines. And they had a very limited amount of time to get across. And if you do not know where the landmines are, you go very, very cautiously. And they needed a miracle. And a violent windstorm came up. And so they hunkered down. And when the wind died down, all of the landmines had been exposed. And so they were able to march safely through that field, made it to their destination without any damage or any loss of life. And so yesterday on the end of the broadcast, I was just encouraging you that God is not surprised by what is going on, what attacks you may be going through. And I want to remind you of this verse: "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay." You don't want to burden yourself down, carrying grudges and harboring hatred in your heart. You can't afford that baggage. You can't. You need to leave that in the hands of God. And here's the thing. I don't ever pray for vengeance for my enemy. I don't. I pray that God will save their soul, that he will have mercy upon them, and that he will bring about transformation in their life. But I do know this. He's going to take care. He's going to make everything right. So don't carry that around. In fact, I've got this very vivid imagination. And one of the things that I would like to do is have one of those little devices that they have at the airport that says, you know, this is what size your carry-on can be. I'd like to have a sign that says, "Check your bags at the door. Check your bags at the door." Not that we have, you know, people at Merritt Assembly of God that haven't. I just, as a word of encouragement to everybody, is you can't afford to be lugging around that type of baggage. We had a repairman that came to the church here few weeks ago. He was working on our copier machine, has this really, really heavy, I can t- tell. I didn't try and pick it up, but I could tell by the thunk sound that it made as it was going down the stairs. It was on wheels, of just how heavy this thing was. Gravity would kick in just as soon as it was over the tipping point of the step, and bam, down it would go, and it'd make this really. He was carrying around probably over 70 or 80 pounds worth of tools up and down the stairs, and I was like, you can't run a race like that. There are certain things that you can't, you cannot successfully run this Christian life carrying around offense or unforgiveness. You and I need to check pride at the door, check deception at the door. We need to eliminate all of those things. We need to embrace the engineering that is going on with modern automobiles, if you will, or airplanes, and that is, we want to try and make our journey as light as possible. We want to make it as safe as possible. We need to make it as light as possible. Let's rid ourselves of as much toxicity in our spiritual life as we can, because that is the enemy's trap. Offense will keep you imprisoned. It's not going to penalize the person who's offended you. God's got to deal with them and bring them to that place of forgiveness. But if you and I remain imprisoned because we refuse to allow that person or to grant to that person forgiveness, not only have we hurt ourselves, we are actually denying ourselves the forgiveness of our Heavenly Father as well. I don't want to do that. So anyway, we're in Isaiah chapter 7 today. We're going to go back and look at verse number 7. It's where we're going to begin reading. It says, "Thus says the Lord God, it shall not stand, nor shall it come to pass, for the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. Within 65 years, Ephraim will be broken, so that it will not be a people. The head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If you will not believe, surely you shall not be established." Now, you can date this prophecy pretty accurately because Israel, the 10 northern tribes, they were conquered by the Assyrians in 721 to 722 BC, right around in that area. So this would make this around 786 to 787 BC when this prophecy comes to pass, somewhere around in that time. And what he says is that the enemy that has amassed itself against the nation of Judah and marched against Jerusalem, that right now, even though it looks ominous and it looks threatening, that its life expectancy is very, very short. He said, within 100 years from now, you're still going to be there, but that country's going to be gone. And I just want to encourage you to live your life with an eye on eternity. Live your life with an eye on your legacy. As Isaiah is saying this, now he's been a prophet now under Uzziah, under Jotham, and under Ahaz. This is his third king. He's probably not going to live 65 years. He may not see this. Ahaz himself may not live to see this. But you know what? Isaiah's got a son there that is standing with him that whose name speaks of remnant. And he wants not only the king to hear, but he also wants his son to hear what God has to say to this people. And I believe that it is important for us to once again realize that we are not second class, that really the people of influence in a society should be the people who know their God. The people who know their God shall do great exploits. You know, I'm never going to be an Army Ranger or a Navy SEAL. I'm never going to be one of the elite. I'm not going to be a member of a SWAT team or any of that sort of stuff, but I can be a man of valor for God. And men, I want to encourage you to rise up and take your place of spiritual authority, not to be used against your wife or against your kids, but to say, you know what? I am going to stand here and I am going to represent Jesus well to my wife. I am going to lay my life down for my wife the way that Christ laid down his life and gave himself up for her. My desires will be secondary to hers. I am going to make sure that she knows that she has a husband who loves her and will be there to protect her no matter what, that my children and my grandchildren will know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I love Jesus. Real men love Jesus. You know what? It takes no special skill to be a drunk. It doesn't take any special skill to be a bum. It takes a person of that is a that has integrity and has fortitude and has a desire to be what God has them to be. Listen, if you are shut in, if you are unable to get out and go throughout the community the way that you normally would, I want to tell you, you have a place in the body of Christ. Become a mighty person of prayer. I pray that the presence of God would fill your room and fill your life and fill your house. I pray that you would, as you're listening to the radio, whenever you hear a need, if you hear a church that you pray for them, that you pray for that God would open up doors of opportunity for them, touch the throne of heaven. Do not buy the enemy's lies that if you do not have all of the physical attributes of all of these celebrities or these pro athletes or all of the resources of Wall Street or anything, that you are ineffective. I encourage you to believe exactly the opposite, that it is not those externals that make you powerful. It is the internals of Jesus Christ living inside of you, that he makes you more than an overcomer through Jesus Christ. Listen. If nothing else, if you don't do anything else, be a person that prays for your pastor. Be a person that prays for your church. Be a person that prays for your kids. Touch the throne room of heaven. Okay? Now I'll slow down just a minute now. I felt very strongly about that. He says, it shall not come to pass. People need to know that God is a God who intervenes. Two out of the three services that I conduct with the adults on a weekly basis, I begin it with this. Who brought the testimony tonight? Who on Sunday night and on Sunday morning, who brought the testimony? On our prayer request cards, when people turn in their prayer request before we pray for miracles on Sunday morning, we have an opportunity for praise reports there. People write them down, they turn them to me, and I share praise reports with the people. You and I, we need to understand that when God intervenes, that we need to praise him for it. It shall not stand, nor shall it come to pass. And I like this. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. There was one translation I read, and it said that the head is only this person. It's only that person. You see, people might be impressed with other people, but God isn't intimidated by that at all. He's not intimidated by your titles. He's not intimidated by your wealth. He's not intimidated by your influence. He's just not. You are not going to successfully intimidate God. It doesn't matter to him if there's three people that go into the promised land or two people that go into the promised land and millions stay on the outside. He's not intimidated by the majority. he's not going to be moved to embrace ungodliness just because it's the majority opinion. And so the prophet comes and he says, you know, what you are being attacked by a broken people. They may not recognize their brokenness now, but they will recognize it in the future. And he closes out verse number 9 and he says, if you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. If you will not believe, you shall not be established. And so there we see the importance of faith. You and I need to fully embrace the Word of God, what God has spoken to us. A few weeks ago, my daughter graduated from Southeastern University over in Lakeland, and Dr. Ben Carson was the commencement speaker. And he shared that, you know, he had achieved a great deal of fame. He was the head of pediatric neurosurgery, I believe that was the title, at Johns Hopkins Hospital at the age of 33. And a couple came to him. They had been to a number of other doctors, and all those doctors had said, you know, that this child had an inoperable brain tumor on the brainstem, and that they just needed to take the child home and make the child comfortable because the child was going to die. And so when they met with Dr. Carson, they said, Dr. Carson, we have prayed and God has spoken to us that our child is going to be healed and that he's going to use you to bring about that healing. And Dr. Carson repeated the same line that all of the other doctors, and they said, Doctor, you don't understand. God sent us to you. And he said that he is going to bring healing to our child, and he's going to bring that healing through you. And they over and over and bad report after bad report, and they didn't have a lot of the technology that at that point in time that we currently have. This would probably go back 30 years, 25 to 30 years. And so they finally did a test, and they found out that even though it looked like it was a brain tumor on the brainstem, it was actually a tumor that was beside the brainstem, and it was pressing and misshaping and forcing the brainstem into a position. And Dr. Carson came away from that very humbled because God had healed the child of something that no doctor believed that he was going to be able to be healed of. And he had used Dr. Carson to bring about that healing, just like he told that family. I can tell you that I have been in some intense spiritual struggles throughout my Christian walk. If you think that your pastor does not go through challenges and does battle for the sake of the kingdom, you would be mistaken. And those battles are not won because they are a pastor. The battles that I've won had nothing to do with the position that I serve the body of Christ in. It had everything to do with the fact that God gave me a measure of faith when I asked him to be my Lord and Savior. It says that he's given a measure of faith to every person. There's enough faith there to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's given that to everybody. It's there. But when I became a child of God, he also gave me a supernatural gift of faith. You see, I come from a long line of stubborn people. I discovered several years ago that my grandmother had a very strong, stubborn streak in her. I didn't realize that it went back to that generation. I found out it went back a generation or two before that. But you know what? I decided that I was going to use my stubbornness as a positive attribute instead of a negative attribute. And I was going to stubbornly believe for the things of God instead of contrary to the things of God. If you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. A lot of people procrastinate belief and a lifestyle of faith until the sailing gets a little smoother. I want you to know that that is a recipe for frustration. The recipe, the formula that God has is this: believe leads to establishment. Believing results in stability. Today, it is not our mental faculties that causes us to be able to stand firmly in the face of a storm. It is because we know who holds the future. I've already sang once today, and I'm not going to try and do that again, but there is a song that Bill Gaither wrote. It says, "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living because he lives." Today, the just shall live by faith. In the days of Habakkuk, God said to the prophet, "The just shall live by faith." In the New Testament, in Romans, Paul was led to that passage, and he said, "In the New Testament, the just shall live by faith." When Martin Luther was moved by God and there was the Great Reformation that took place, one of the things that moved him was the reality that in the 1500s, the just shall live by faith. And in 2016, I declare to you that the just shall still live by faith. If you are living by faith in your retirement account, if you are living by faith in your health or your job, I want to encourage you to get a more certain faith, because God is your provider, not those other things. And I'm not saying those things are bad. I'm just saying they are not reliable. They can be there one day and they can be gone the next. Don't put your faith in people. Don't put your faith in things. Don't put your faith in finances. Put your faith in Jesus Christ, because only he can enable you to withstand the storm. Only he can provide the establishment and the security and the peace that you and I need. In Matthew chapter 7, it says in verse number 24, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Both houses sustained the same storm. They both went through the exact same rainfall, the exact same rising of the floodwaters, and the same ferocity of the wind. It was a violent storm. The one survived and the one collapsed. The one that survived was because its foundation was not on something that was unstable like the sand, but instead it was built upon a rock. It was established. It was connected. That's why modern home construction, everything is tied together. The roof is tied to the walls, which are tied to the foundation. Everything is tied together because after Hurricane Andrew came, they found that there needed to be attachments there. They needed, in order for the house to survive, it needed to the roof needed to be attached to the foundation. And so what the passage says is that the house who is founded on the rock is the person who hears and does what God says. Hears and does what God says. And that is true if you're a king like Ahaz, if you're a prophet like Isaiah, or you're Isaiah's son, or you're just a person who happens to be listening that day. If you don't believe, you will not be established. God today is not looking for your downfall. He is looking for you to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's a good day. I'm so thankful for the gift of the Holy Spirit in the climate that we are living in. I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit is our ever-present help in time of trouble. I'm going to pray for you today. I don't know what you might be going through, but I want to encourage you to put your faith in God. Put your faith in God when things are going well, so that when things are going challenging, that faith will already be established. If you happen to be in a firestorm right now, don't delay another minute, but put your faith in Jesus Christ today. If you need some help, give us send us an email at meritassembly@hotmail.com or call us at 321-454-4263. We will be glad to pray with you and help you to be established in your faith. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray that any person who's listening who never asked Jesus to be the Lord of their life, that today you will become their Savior and their Lord, and you would help them in the firefight of their life. Lord, anybody who's under attack right now, I pray, God, that in spite of what may come through wind and rain or news or adversity, God, that you would cause their faith to be established. And Lord, we thank you for the gift of faith. In Jesus' name. See you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Looks like tonight the sky is heaven.